Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and call us, 208-991-4783. Well, I do want to let you know we have another video theater episode coming up. This one is the first episode of a 1957-58 syndicated TV series called Decoy. And it was the first television show with a television police show with a female lead. I think you'll enjoy it. I will say that it is definitely in the PG range, so parental guidance strongly suggested. Oh, it's pretty good, 1957-58 show. Well, today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. Now it's time that we got into today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Sulfur and Brimstone Matter.
For your listening enjoyment, John Lund as Johnny Dollar.
Philip Parton, Johnny. What do you know about hydroelectric power dams?
Not a thing, should I?
The Travers Construction Company is building one at Sierra de Avare. That's a couple of hundred miles west of Caracas, Venezuela. Don't you might like to run down there and take a look at it?
Well, that's very thoughtful of you, but no thanks.
There's a time penalty clause in their contract, Johnny, and we put up the completion bond. Now, if the dam isn't finished by a week from Friday, it starts costing us $5,000 a day until it is.
You sound worried.
We got a radiogram from Asa Travers yesterday claiming that attempts are being made to prevent the completion of the dam on schedule. Last night, Travers got himself involved in a premature dynamite explosion.
Did it kill him?
No. That was accomplished by two .38 caliber slugs they found in him afterwards.
I wonder if coffee's any cheaper in Venezuela. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Eastern Indemnity Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the sulfur and brimstone matter. Expense account item 1, $273.50. Airfare and incidentals between Hartford and Caracas, Venezuela. I was met at the Macatia Airport by the deceased Travers partner, Senor Getulio Matarsa. We wasted little time on the amenities. 10 minutes later, we were aboard a twin-engine Cessna with Matarsa at the controls, flying west toward the Sierra de Avare Dam.
As to who may have killed Senor Travers or why, I can tell you nothing. It is possible Captain Borros of the Federal Police will have more information for us when we arrive.
Why federal authorities on a homicide matter?
Oh, the Sierra de Avare Dam is being partially financed by governmental funds. Naturally, the federal authorities are interested.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your opinion about Asa Travers' report that somebody's trying to sabotage the dam?
Well, it is true we have had some breakdown of equipment, some vital materials lost or stolen. I do not believe anyone is attempting to delay construction by physical means.
What do you believe?
In many police organizations, Senor Dollar, even in yours, in the United States, there will always be a small percentage of dishonest men.
You're talking about Captain Borrow?
On a project such as the Sierra de Avare Dam, two diligent police investigations could cause disastrous work stoppages, vital delays which could carry us far beyond the contract deadline.
And at $5,000 a day, that could turn out to be pretty rough. Did either you or Travers try to prove this little theory of yours?
We will be at the dam shortly, Senor Dollar, and your investigation can begin. It would not perhaps be wise of me to attempt to give you any preconceived ideas.
Maybe you should have thought of that before you tried so hard. Some 20 minutes later, Matarsa put the plane down on a bare earth field in the midst of a jumble of giant steam shovels, earth movers, and bulldozers. Overlooking it all was the great bulk of the Sierra de Avari Dam. Matarsa made some excuse about having to check on a turbine installation, so I made my way alone to the shack which was construction headquarters of the project.
Oh!
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, senor.
My fault.
No, I didn't. Hasta luego, senor.
Yeah.
Yeah?
My name is Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator. I'm looking for Captain Boros.
Insurance investigator. That's all we need out here now. Who's paying you off, Boros or Matarsa?
Maybe we better start over again. My name is Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator. Who are you?
Bill Anthony. I'm straw boss of this outfit. And let's get one thing straight right now. I'm here to build this dam, and it's going to get built in spite of you or Boros or Matarsa or anyone else.
Very admirable. Now, where's Captain Boros?
Last I heard, he was going over to Travers' house.
And where's that?
Near the town of Puerto Cáceres, some 10 miles north of here.
Uh-huh.
We got some jeeps parked down on the other side of the hill. Tell one of the boys I said he should drive you out there.
You're mighty accommodating all of a sudden.
We'll get you out of my hair for a while.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Oh, by the way, who's the girl I bumped into on my way in?
Philomena Trapp.
Aza's daughter?
His widow, why?
You must have been discussing some pretty important business.
What makes you think so?
Neither one of you remembered to wipe the lipstick off your chin. There were a few questions I wanted to put to Matarsa regarding Bill Anthony and Aza Travers' comely young widow, Philomena, but I didn't see him around. So I made my way to the motor pool and got myself transportation and a guide to take me to Aza Travers' home.
It is true, then, that the Senor North Americano has come here on the sad matter of Senor Travers' day.
Well, the word's gotten around pretty fast, hasn't it, Pedro?
Well, when one has lived in the Sierra Roja as long as has Pedro de la Cuesta, anything strange or different becomes quickly known.
Well, then maybe Pedro de la Cuesta knows something about why Senor Travers was killed.
I know only that when men make an evil thing, Senor, it will bring evil.
You're talking about the building of the dam?
Si, senor.
Why should that be an evil thing?
It is not right for men to change the things which are natural to the earth, senor. To force the flowing waters of a river backward upon themselves. This is not a good thing, senor.
You talk like a plantation owner, Pedro.
No, no, senor. My father was but a poor farmer who worked hard that I might go to the school of the workers here. But Pedro knows it is not a good thing what is being done here today. The evil that man creates will destroy him, as it has already done to Senor Travers. And there will be more it will destroy, senor. Many, many more.
Now that's a happy thought. Aza Travers' house was a neat white stucco bungalow, half hidden by a mass of flowering bougainvillea. I left Pedro de la Cuesta with his gloomy thoughts while I went up to see if anyone was around. It soon became evident that somebody was. The shots came from a low barn-like building at the rear of the property, and I wasted no time getting over there to see if Pedro's prophecy had already been fulfilled.
Buenas tardes, senor. So we meet again, eh?
Yeah.
But you look so startled, senor. Almost as though you had expected to find a body in here.
Well, I hadn't expected to find a shooting gallery, Senora Travers.
Ace, I had it built for my amusement. I have always found firearms fascinating ever since I was a little girl. And there is little else with which one may amuse oneself out here in this wilderness. I have become quite proficient at it.
Ooh.
You see?
Not bad. What's the gun? 38 caliber on a 45 frame?
Si, senor. And you are thinking perhaps that it is the same caliber bullet which caused the death of Asa?
The thought had occurred to me, yeah.
Well, it is regrettable one was disappointed, senor. Capitan Boros has already checked the gun.
Mm-hmm. I see. Where is the good captain?
Oh, he left perhaps 20 minutes ago.
We didn't pass him on the road.
Are you always so suspicious of other person's statements, Senor Dollar?
Let's say I'm curious.
And you find something to be curious about concerning me?
Oh, a number of things.
Oh?
Well, I haven't told you who I am or why I'm here, but you seem to know.
But of course, Senor. Bill Anthony has called me on the telephone and so informed me.
And you don't seem particularly grief-stricken over the death of your husband.
I have a philosophy of life, Senor. It is always to look forward, never back. It is only the future one may possibly control, never the past.
Sometimes the past has a nasty habit of affecting one's future.
Only if one has been guilty of some crime.
And you haven't?
Would you believe me if I said no?
Senor Dollar! Senor Dollar!
In here, Matassa.
Senor. Senor, you must return with me to the dam at once.
Why? What's up?
It is at Capitan Morros. He has just ordered an immediate stoppage of all work on the dam. You see, Senor Dollar, already the work has come to a halt. Nothing is moving. The steam shovels, the concrete mixers, nothing.
Uh-huh. Where's Captain Boris?
In the construction shack with Bill Anthony.
Let's talk with him.
I tell you, Senor Dollar, there is only one answer for this action. Captain Boros is looking for the payoff.
We'll talk to him.
I'm about ready to... Well, it's about time you got here, Dollar. Maybe you can talk some sense into this bull-headed jackass who calls himself captain of police.
I have listened to enough of this kind of talk, Senor Anthony. I'm willing to talk sensibly and calmly with anyone. But violent words or actions will not sway me in the least.
Well, that makes sense, Captain. Can you do the same about this sudden clampdown order of yours?
Quite simply, Senor, I had no alternative. It was necessary to halt work upon the dam in order to prevent possible irreparable damage to the construction.
What kind of nonsense is that, Capitan?
It is a statement of fact, Senor Metarza. I discovered this afternoon that Senor Anthony was about to dynamite a passageway for the new riverbed. He was employing an excessive amount of dynamite that would bring the hillside down upon the cut that has already been made.
You're lying in your teeth, Boris.
I am no engineer, Senor Anthony. But when a specification is called for 25 cases of dynamite, and I find 50 such cases are being employed, drastic action of some kind is certainly called for.
How about that, Anthony?
He's off his rocker, Dollar. I issued the specifications for the job. 25 cases were called for, and only 25 cases were taken out of the powder house.
Seems to be a little difference of opinion, Captain. Suppose we go down and take a look at those dynamite charges.
If you wish, Senor. But I can assure you, you will be able to learn nothing that will alter my decision. Until I get to the bottom...
Dynamite! The charges we set to blast the new riverbed. Somebody set them off!
Our star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our subsequent investigation showed that Bill Anthony's specifications for 25 cases of dynamite had cleared through the powder house just that way. And the explosive experts there said that only an amount greatly in excess of that could have caused the damage that had been done. And we discovered that the blast had been touched off by a crude, homemade sparking contraption we found in the brush on one of the nearby hills. It was dark by the time we got back to the construction shack. Matarsa was waiting for us with a report on the results of the investigating he and Bill Anthony had done.
The original damage is not as great as we feared, senores.
Yeah? How's that, Matassa?
While it is true the explosion buried the new cut, it is only for a relatively short distance. We can bypass it through a natural canyon on the other side of the hill. The work will be completed by Friday.
You are forgetting something, are you not, senor?
Your work, stoppage order, Capitan Borros?
Mm-hmm.
No. I am flying to Caracas tonight. There are higher authorities there who can quite easily countermand your orders. I'm certain I will prevent you from interfering any longer in the construction of the Sierra de Abarre Dam. Buenas noches, señores.
Looks like he's calling your hand, Captain.
Si. And I have no doubt he will succeed, señor. There are those in Caracas who, for a handful of silver, will sell practically anything, including their souls.
You know, Matarsa has the same idea about you.
Mm. He's not the first, nor will he be the last. A police official is always suspected. There are but few who realize that there are other considerations besides those of money.
How about naming me one, Captain?
8 men have died so far in the construction of this dam, señor. All of them during the so-called accidents which have occurred. What if I should tell you that my reason for holding construction until we get to the bottom of this consists solely of a desire to save more lives?
Well, I'd say it sounds reasonable. A construction project like the Sierra de Avare Dam, there's not much to do at night except eat and sleep. In the mess hall, I was served up a beautiful thing called cazuela. I was seriously considering presenting my compliments to the chef when I was called to the phone in Bill Anthony's office.
I trust I did not interrupt anything too important, Senor Dollar, but I am about to leave this dreary wilderness for the much more pleasant surroundings to be found in Caracas.
Getting tired of target practice?
Oh, I'm tired of many things, Senor. Tired and bored. So perhaps when you're finished with your business there, you would care to look me up in Caracas. I will be at the Gran Palacio.
That's not what you called me about.
Not everything, perhaps.
What's the rest of it?
Well, after you left, I happen to recall what my dear husband Asa once said to me concerning the dam and the accidents which had been occurring there.
What was it?
He said, strange how the works of the devil always carry the odor of sulfur and brimstone with them.
What else did he say?
It is all, senor.
Pretty cryptic, isn't it?
It means nothing to you?
Should it?
Would it help any if I were to tell you that very close to where the dynamite explosion occurred this afternoon, there's an old abandoned sulfur mine?
It might. What do you know about an old sulfur mine somewhere around here, Pedro?
I know that there is one, senor, but he has not been worked. There has been no one near it for many years. It could be of no importance to anyone.
Suppose we find out.
There is evil in here, senor. Much evil. What is it this senor hopes to discover here?
I'm not sure, Pedro.
Senor?
Up ahead there. What's your guess?
There's wooden boxes? How would I know?
You've been working on a construction job, Pedro. Take a closer look.
It is the explosive, senor. The boxes of dynamite.
Yeah. Some empty, some full. Well, that answers one question.
What question, senor?
Where the excess dynamite came from that blew up half that mountain today. And take a look behind those stacked cases.
Hmm? Santa Maria.
Yeah. Looks like we got more answers than we bargained for. When we got back to the camp, I rounded up Captain Borros. He agreed with me heartily in all respects.
Si, Senor Dollar, I would say your little trip to the sulfur mine has supplied us with several answers. Finding the dynamite, the body of Senor Bill Anthony.
Let's not forget the gun, Captain.
38 caliber. The same caliber that killed Senor Travers. The initials on the butt are GM. And when you consider that the sulfur mine is owned by Senor Getulio Metarsa...
Yeah, yeah. How soon are you leaving for Caracas?
Immediately. Perhaps you would like to return with me.
That's the second best offer I've had in Venezuela.
Oh? And the first, senor?
Well, I should find the answer to that at the Gran Palacio. An hour and a half later, I checked into the Grand Palacio. Ballot service did a fairly good job of removing the clinging yellow sulfur dust from my clothes, while a hot shower did the same for my skin. But nothing could help the chemical reaction of the sulfur dust that had tarnished the silver coins in my pocket until they were almost black. When I asked for Senora Travers, I was told she would be at the Hipodromo Nacional. Expense account item 2, $3.50. Cab fare from the Grand Palacio to Caracas's sumptuous Hipodromo Nacional. Good evening, Senora.
Senor Bernard.
Surprise?
In a way. I was not expecting to see you here tonight. Do you always accept invitations so hurriedly?
Well, only under unusual circumstances.
Do you find this one unusual?
Well, let's say the widow's lack of grief over her husband's passing was rather marked.
You're not being very amusing.
Neither was your explanation about that sulfur mine. It's leading Captain Boros to Getulio Matarsa just about now.
Getulio? He's the one who... Oh, that is too bad.
Why?
He had promised to take care of my expenses during my stay here in Caracas.
Well, you'd better start looking for another philanthropist.
I
don't think I could afford it.
Oh, how unfortunate. Well, in that case, I would not consider asking you to pay for my drink.
I'm still not too happy about that sulfur mine explanation.
There's nothing more I can say, senor.
Not even where you got that coin?
Coin?
The one you just threw on the bar. Tarnished. Almost black. In case you didn't know, that's what sulfur does to silver.
I see.
Well?
It was given to me day before yesterday, senor. It was the wish of the giver that I purchase a candle with it to burn for my husband.
Who gave it to you?
Pedro de la Cuesta.
It didn't take long to find Captain Boros or to make the return flight to Sierra de Ovalle. Locating Pedro de la Cuesta was another matter. When we finally made it, dawn was already hitting the hills. Unfortunately, it looked like we were a little too late.
Senor Donner.
Yeah, I see him.
That box he has with him. Another sparky mechanism. The dynamite must be buried in the hill beside him.
Isn't the river on the other side?
It is. If he explodes that dynamite, the river will break into a new channel and sweep down upon the dam.
Hold it, Boris.
There is no other way, senor. Only a bullet can stop him now. He can explode the charge at any time before we reach him.
Let me take a crack at it. It's no good, Pedro. What you're doing is no good.
It will destroy the evil, senor. It will prevent the good earth from being drowned by the wicked water.
For a while, maybe, but only for a while. No matter what you do here today, that dam will be built.
No, senor. It will be taken as an omen, as a sign from heaven. The evil thing will be left alone to drown in its own water, as they wish to drown my Maria.
Your Maria, Pedro? Who is she?
Mi esposa, senor. My wife. She who came with me to this land almost 40 years ago. Maria, who worked with me in the soil, who bore our children, who gave of herself for me, our family, for our land. Our grave lies there beyond those hills, senor, where the evil one would release the water.
Is that why you want to destroy the dam, Pedro? Because of Maria's grave?
She belongs there, senor, in the good earth to which she gets so much of herself. And they wish to destroy her grave, senor. To drown it in those filthy waters so they can make money. To wash away the only thing that ever meant anything in my life. How could I allow that, senor? How?
Is that why you killed Senor Travers?
He will not listen. On my knees I begged him, but he would not listen. An evil man, senor.
And Senor Anthony?
Well, he suspects me. Follow me to the sulfur mine. I had no choice, senor. And you have given me none now.
Put the box down, Pedro.
No, senor. It is unfortunate you must die with me.
Put it down.
It is too late, senor. Perhaps somewhere we will meet again.
Sorry, Pedro.
Senor Gordon, you're all right?
Yeah. Thanks, Boros. How come you missed him?
It was necessary that I miss. What if I'd hit the box and it caused contact? A most unhappy thought.
So was the one I had.
What was that, Senor Dollar?
The same thing could have happened just now when it hit the ground. Expense account item 3, $41.60. Hotel bill and incidentals in Caracas. Expense account item 4, $267. Airfare and incidentals from Caracas back to Hartford. Expense account total, $585.60. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Welcome back. Well, definitely a deranged character. The type you usually only see or hear about in old-time radio or classic television shows. Johnny nearly got himself killed trying to save the perpetrator here, but it all worked out for the best. Well, for everyone other than him. Well, we do have some listener comments and feedback. I'd mentioned my, and I mentioned this on Facebook as well, my first feeling when I heard 812, the case of the Sundhauer Mystery Mansion, that my first thought is that it reminded me a bit of Scooby-Doo, though I thought better of it later. Andrew says, I wonder if Hanna-Barbera listen to old-time radio. You know, I think that old-time radio definitely had an influence on the writers and creators of some of the classic television programs out there. And you can see that for years afterward. You know, and there are some... And whether it's in Hanna-Barbera cartoons, where, of course, Augie Doggie sounds a lot like Jimmy Durante, or you can look at superhero comic Fantastic Four, and writer Stan Lee borrowed the phrase of William Bendix, "What a revolting development." I can even see it in some of the later programs. Steven Spielberg produced programs like The Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain, which had several homages to Golden Age entertainment, both a lot of motion picture, but even some radio. One that stands out to me, that I watched when I was a kid, was the character of Mindy in the Buttons and Mindy's cartoon, who continually asked why. To me, that seemed to be borrowed from Baby Snooks. Certainly, if you grew up during this period, you listened to radio. It influenced you, and it kind of shaped you. And I think that, in some ways, that's why there are Silver Ages. And in addition to that, I should add, some people who wrote for radio and performed on radio actually performed and wrote for television. Jackson Gillis, who writes Let George Do It, wrote a lot of the early Columbo shows. And Dawes Butler, who did the voice of Huckleberry Hound, voiced a similar-sounding character on the radio show That's Rich. I think over time, the influences from the Golden Age have diminished. And if we're picking up much from the Golden Age, it's probably third- and fourth-hand stuff. Finally, we have this comment from David, who says, I have a coworker who is in his 70s, and now we have something strangely in common. We both love Johnny Dollar. I love when old-time radio brings generations together. It's a great story. And, of course, we're only a few weeks away from The Johnny Dollar that most people associate with, Bob Bailey, I think we should be in about 15 weeks getting to that. But we have a busy week of programming coming up next week. So I'll recap it for you. Sunday, we have the first episode of Decoy. Tuesday, we'll be bringing you the premiere episode of A Life in Your Hands. And on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have Christmas episodes of Sherlock Holmes and Let George Do It. So we have a lot coming up next week. I hope you'll be with us. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/RadioDetectives. And follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.